You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So the Best Practice Advocacy Center provides independent guidance for primary care practitioners such as GPs and pharmacists and nurses. Jen spoke with David Woods about some recently mediatized research reporting on prescriptions given to children between 2010 and 2015. An aspect of the research which has been focused on is the increase in prescription of fluoxetine, an antidepressant, for children aged 12 and over. David put the drug and the prescription patterns in perspective.
The report done on children's prescriptions, particularly what I'm interested in, I study psychology, so this immediately caught my attention. The increase between 2010 and 2015 of 50% in prescribing children over the age of 12 with fluoxetine.
Yeah.
Could you describe to me what fluoxetine is?
Yeah, well, the first point I'd make is that this study was not specifically to look at the prescribing of fluoxetine. It was to look at a whole range of other medicines.
Yep.
But obviously, people have focused on the increased use of antidepressants. We'll come on to that in a minute. But fluoxetine is an antidepressant. It's in the group called SSRIs. It's been around for quite a few years, and it's the one drug in that class that's got the best experience of use in children and in adolescents, actually. There are other medicines in that class, but they've not really been subjected to the same level of investigation, and most of the guidelines, national and international, recommend that particular drug if you need to use an antidepressant in a child or adolescent. And it's mainly adolescents we're talking about.
And so SSRI, that's a select
serotonin reuptake
inhibitor.
That's so
it doesn't produce, it doesn't force the brain to produce more serotonin. It allows serotonin, which is naturally occurring, to last longer. Is that correct?
It increases the availability of serotonin in the brain by preventing its reuptake. So it just increases the natural amount and the natural availability in the brain, yes.
Yeah, I am by no means against this at all, but I do think it's important to understand, to try and link why there has been an increase. So why do you think there has been an increase?
Well, of course, the other thing to point out here is that I'm not a psychiatrist.
No.
I'm not an expert in the field, and I can only give my take on the increase. And the first thing to point out about the increase is, in absolute terms, it's actually quite small. So whilst it's, you know, a 50% increase sounds quite large, in absolute terms, we're looking at, in the year 2010, about 10 children per 1,000 receiving fluoxetine or prescription for it, and then that's gone up to about 15 per 1,000 in 2015. So that's, you know, quite a small increase in absolute terms.
Okay, well, that's
about 5 per 1,000. So as far as why, well, if we look at what might have happened during that period. First of all, there was quite a lot of education that went out from the Ministry of Health here in New Zealand about the identification of adolescents with depression. That's more sort of recognition of the problem. There were guidelines or guidance put out about how to identify depression in young people and how to treat it appropriately, and this would be mainly non-medicine treatment. But in those severe cases, there was guidance on the appropriate use of antidepressants. That increased education and knowledge may have led to an increased use of the medicine.
Like you said, and you said in the media release, better identification of mental health issues or depression in adolescents. Is there any possibility of it being an increase because of a transfer from a different pharmaceutical treatment?
I don't think so, because there's probably hardly any other antidepressants used in this age group. There may be some antidepressants used for other indications, very few and far between. But, you know, the consensus is, both nationally and internationally, that fluoxetine is the medicine of choice for treating depression in this age group. And it's unlikely that we're seeing, we could have seen people moving from one drug to another. I think this is probably, again, you know, we could look at it in more detail. We haven't actually specifically looked at it, but it's probably people being started on this medicine. Situations right. where perhaps, you know, move through a process of non-drug treatment and then decided that situation is sufficiently severe to warrant treatment with an antidepressant.
Okay. And is there a possibility of this being just an overall increase in children suffering from depression, or adolescents, I should say? Yeah, is it possible that there's a correlation with increased economic stress or poverty or homelessness? I know these are big things that we talk about now, and they obviously affect children.
It's very, very, very difficult to say. My thoughts would be that it's actually more increased recognition.
Right.
And increase confidence in using this medicine. And bearing in mind that I would expect that the majority of these, if not all, cases where the fluoxetine has been initiated would have either been started, you know, by a specialist or in consultation by a GP and a specialist. So it's quite clear in the guidance that this is it's quite a big step to start using an antidepressant in this age group, and that would actually involve, you know, quite good liaison between the services, for example, between GP and specialists before that step is taken, and also very close monitoring once the medicine's been started as well.
Okay, my final question is, where would you suggest research needs to look now?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think, you know, in general, from this study, and not just on the antidepressants, what we've identified is the opportunity to look more closely into medicines use over periods of time. So with this particular study, one limitation, if you like, is that we only had data up to the end of 2015. So one possibility would be to look at how trends have come since 2015. So we could actually, in fact, look at where antidepressants have gone from 2015 and still see if that trend's increasing. It's the door's open for other people to sort of pick this up and say, we'd like to look at this in more detail and see, for example, if any other medicines are being used in this age group, what particular age group. So, for example, I would think that the majority of these children or adolescents receiving this drug are probably in the older end of the spectrum, almost an adult, if you like. But we could look at that in more detail as well. So there's a lot of opportunities to dig into the use of antidepressants and the other medicines that we've looked at as well from this study.
Yeah, that's another thing. The children over 12, it kind of frames it at a much younger age than the range of ages encapsulated in that, right? So children over 12, does that go right up to 18?
Yeah, it does. And interestingly, that there have been similar studies done in the UK, and they've also identified increases in the use of antidepressants. The interesting thing there is one of their biggest areas of increase percentage-wise was in the age group younger than 12. We didn't see that. Our increase was in that older age group. And I would think that if we unraveled that a little bit more, we might see that the majority were in the older end of that spectrum, you know, maybe 16, 17-year-olds.
Thank you very much for talking to me. Do you have any final things you'd like to add?
Yeah, just to add that I think, you know, this has been an interesting study from the point of view of antidepressants. I think there are other areas that we've looked at as well, which have shown some interesting trends as well. For example, the good findings with the reduction of antibiotics. And I think in general, this sort of methodology adds to the other methods we have in New Zealand to monitor the safe and effective use of medicines. So it's a good venture, I think.
Just quickly, building on that, what are the positives of a decrease in antibiotics?
Again, you know, during this time period, there's been some good education on the use of antibiotics. So, for example, we found a reduction in the use of the topical antibiotics. Those are antibiotics used on the skin for skin infections. Generally, they're not used or not recommended unless you have a really severe infection. If you use them willy-nilly, you know, you get increased resistance. So we found a reduction in that, which is good. We also found a slight reduction in the use of the so-called broad-spectrum antibiotics, which are, again, not routinely required. You can get by with either no antibiotic or with a more focused antibiotic, which is less likely to cause resistance. So they're very positive findings.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.